In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We heard the parable about the good ground today, about the sower. And I said good ground, actually we call it the parable of the sower, don't we? But that, suppose, that was a little bit of a slip of mine, because really, to me, it's all about the good ground. The other three kinds of ground, do you want to be those kind of ground? Do you want to be the ground by the wayside? Not believing? Do you want to be the ground that's where there are rocks, and where it's shallow soil, and you fall away? Or where you're choked by the cares of the world and the weeds of life? Nobody wants to be in that kind of ground. Everybody wants to be the good ground. Well, how are you going to be the good ground? The parable talks about good ground. It doesn't tell as much about what this good ground is, except it talks about an honest and a good heart and patience. How are you going to do those things? It's hard to be patient. Sometimes it's hard to be honest. And it's even hard to be good sometimes. What is your motivation for being good, for being honest? What is your motivation for not taking credit for something when you could? What is your motivation for forgiving somebody who acts terribly against you? What's your motivation? I would submit to you that it's in the epistle today. Amazing words. Words that just ring out throughout the entire universe. And they have been the reason why people have done magnificent things. Why they have forgiven their enemy. Why they have struggled with fasting and with prayer, why they have submitted themselves to the will of God in everything. The epistle talks about it. The apostle Paul talks a lot about the law, and it's really complicated. If you can understand everything he says about the law, then more power to you. You're on akin with St. John Chrysostom. It's very difficult to understand what he says, but it's easy to understand when he makes his application, when he says the law doesn't save. So then he talks about glorying in the cross of Christ. Why do we glory in the cross of Christ and we don't glory in the flesh? Because of these marvelous words. They're so spectacular to hear and to live according to. They're just amazing. So he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Did you hear that? We can be new creatures. Of course, circumcision points to baptism, right? It's a type of baptism. Now circumcision has passed away. There's no need for circumcision. It's irrelevant whether or not a person gets circumcised. It's no longer a matter of being circumcised to be joined to the church. In the case of the Jews, circumcision was necessary or a person was cut off from his own people. Now we have baptism. So he's saying, doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. What matters is if you're a new creature through baptism. What does it mean to be a new creature? It means somebody who can forgive his brother. It means someone who can see spiritual things. It means someone who can have God in his heart. It means someone who can live with purity and chastity and joy. It means someone who can do without something and won't feel any loss because of a higher purpose. That's what a new creature is. What a magnificent thing to be a new creature. And then he talks about as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. This is the key to being the good ground, to walk according to this rule. Now, people love rules. People love ridiculous rules. In our age now, people come up with all kinds of strange rules based upon their identity and their political persuasion and their sexual desires and all the rest. People take their neuroses and make them into rules as if they are some way to live. The Christian way of life is to live according to this rule, that we are new creatures. That's the rule you live by. I ask you, do you live by a rule? I'm not talking about legalistic rules. I can't do this, I can't do that, I have to do this, I have to do that. I'm talking about, do you feel in your life that you're a new creature? Every day that you get up, are you praising God that you can be something more than you began, that you can be united with God and put away the old stuff? Which one of you likes the old stuff in your heart? Huh? That stuff that is where you are jealous of someone. Does anybody like that? What about when you're angry? Anybody like anger? What about when you feel useless or you feel ashamed? Anybody like those feelings? Those are the old feelings. That's the old creature. But we're not an old creature. We're a new creature. We were made alive in baptism and made able to become perfected. So this is the rule that you should be living by. You're a different person. Now the apostle then talks about that. He says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. There are some people that think these marks were he had an eye problem or other such things. And of course, he'd been whipped many, many times. So he probably had, you know, tire tracks on his back from the whipping, from all the scars. But I think these marks are something additional. Perhaps he had all those things. But we have to have marks on our body. What is the mark? The mark is that we are new creatures, and we feel this intensely in everything you do. Nothing you do should be secular. Nothing. You go to work, you do this, you do that. Nothing should be secular. Everything is spiritual because you are a new creature. And you have the marks of Jesus on you. And you glory in the cross, which means you take up your cross. Not as an instrument of torture or an instrument of pain, but that you want to be like your Savior. You want to be like him and become like him because you are like him a little bit. But you have the potential to be completely like him, at least as far as mortal nature can become like God. This is the rule that you should walk according to. And I submit to you, do you have this rule? Or is your life somewhat chaotic and random? Is your life so busy that you don't have time to pray? Is your life so busy that you rarely read the Bible? Or when you do read the Bible, you go, man, that's hard, I don't get it. And then you put it away and you don't read it. Do you walk according to a rule that you are a new creature? This is how you become the good ground. See, it has to be internal. Everything in Christian life is internal. There's nothing external. Now, of course, we have an order that we observe in the church of many, many things. And you can say that those are external things, but they all have an internal reason. The reason why we serve the liturgy a certain way is so that we don't make mistakes, so that we don't say things that are heretical or objectionable, and we believe that what our fathers did previously is good enough for us because it was the will of the Spirit that these things have come about in such ways. So certainly we follow all kinds of things. We wear vestments a certain way, we fast on certain days from certain foods, etc. But the reason for every single one of those things is because we are new creatures and we want to become perfected and we want to walk according to this rule and have peace upon us. And we have the marks of the Lord Jesus on us. We're different than other people. Now, we're not better than them. We're not less sinful for them, unfortunately. Many times, some people that don't even believe in God might be better than us. Maybe they don't get angry, get jealous, etc. But we have marks on us, and we remember those marks. So when you're tempted in some situation to be jealous, to be angry, to be lustful, you remember, I am a new creature. I don't deserve being a new creature. I'm not going to take any pride in it, but I am going to take great joy in it, and it's going to motivate me. It's the reason why I'm going to forgive someone. It's the reason why I'm going to act differently than the world would normally act, because I'm different, because I've been bought with a price, a precious price, and I am precious in God's eyes, even though I'm a terrible sinner. I go to prisons, as you well know. I think everybody knows. And I have a lot of people that, unfortunately, there's a lot of them right now, that are losing hope. The cacophony in prison is just tremendous. There's just crazy stuff that happens in prison. People act in weird ways and obscene ways, and it's very hard to just keep your bearings. And this is the kind of thing that I tell them, and some of them are listening. We're new creatures. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We are bought with a price. We have the marks of Jesus on us. Because of those marks, you don't have a right to do the things that are not of Jesus. You don't have a choice. Now, by saying that, I say, you have a choice. You have a choice to choose that you don't have a choice. And if you think that doesn't make sense grammatically, perhaps it doesn't. But it makes sense spiritually. We choose to follow God in all things. Because we are new creatures, we walk according to his rule. His rule is to do things that often are not what we want to do, or not what brings us immediate pleasure. or sometimes things that even bring us pain. But we do these things because we have his marks on us. And we remember. There's an icon of St. Matrona right there. She had the cross on her forehead. That was a crease in her forehead of the cross because she made the sign of the cross so often on her forehead. Over and over again, there was a cross on her forehead. She literally had a mark on her from her piety. Now, you may not have that, but do you have these marks? Do you feel these marks? When you're in a situation, do you just act randomly? Do you just act like everybody else? Do you give yourself an excuse? Or do you know that you are a new creature? So you got to act like one. You've got to walk according to this rule. And this rule must be much more demanding than any rule that anybody else could place on you. You should be more demanding on yourself than anybody could be on you. Nobody can really tell you to be virtuous except yourself. You can give yourself no quarter there because you are a new creature, and you're walking according to this rule. That's how you become the good ground. Now, the parable has four kinds of ground. Only one of them are people that are saved. The rest of them fall away. Which one are we? If you live your life randomly, if you live your life in a secular way, if you rarely pray, if you don't read the Bible, if you just react to things as life goes along, like a bobber in a pond, or a river, then you're one of the three kinds of ground. We need to be the good ground. And the way we have the good ground, I see it all the time in prison, is where people know that there is a higher purpose to their life, that they are not just what they appear to be. So you're going to go out today and maybe you'll get mad, maybe you'll have a lustful thought, maybe whatever. Is that who you are? Does that define who you are? A Christian says, absolutely not. I'm not defined by my sins. I'm not defined by my weaknesses. I'm defined by the fact that after entering into the waters of baptism, I'm a new creature. I have a rule to walk by. Now, I don't always walk by it well, but I have that rule. And God will not abandon me as long as I walk according to that rule. And I'm going to look on my body every once in a while, and I'm going to see the marks of Christ on it. And I'm going to remember, this is how I should act. This is the way to live triumphantly in life, no matter where you are or what you're doing. This is truly magnificent news. I would say that the thing that I encounter the most in pastoral life is despondency. Despondency is not like depression. Depression is you really feel terrible. Now, despondency can be accompanied with depression. But I find most people don't understand that they're despondent because they have very little faith in God and they sort of live the way the river takes them. I like to kayak. When you're kayaking in a river, as long as you're paddling, you go where you want to go. As soon as you stop paddling, the river takes you exactly where it wants you to take you. And you could be in the middle of the river and within 2 minutes, you're into the weeds. That's the way our life is if we don't live according to this rule. This has to be an internal rule, especially with your children. So I ask your children questions in confession, and I want you to think of your life as not just what it appears to be. You do not have to get mad at somebody. You don't have to be jealous at somebody. You don't have to be lazy. You don't have to have a lustful thought. Those are things of the world, and we're not of the world. Now, we do sins, so we don't pretend that we don't sin. But we're not of the world. We're set apart. And if you feel this setting apart, then you have great hope. And remember, hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is knowing something's going to happen and waiting for it with great expectation. Well, we Christians are waiting for something with expectation. But we're not just sitting here waiting without doing anything. We are waiting and doing. And as we do, as we conquer ourselves, let's say, with a particular passion, maybe we get irritable a lot and we're less irritable now. Maybe we used to cuss a lot and we don't cuss so much now or not at all. Whatever it is, we feel the grace of God flooding into us and we feel the warmth of God and the experience of God. When people don't experience God, then they can't maintain. They might be able to have rules around them and appear to be something, but inside they're dead. I'm not saying they're doing bad and terrible things, but inside they're not experiencing God, and that's a tragedy because we're new creatures. What kind of creature? A creature that's like God, no longer like the world. So if you know this, if you feel this in everything you do, it really changes your whole behavior about everything. You're transcendent then, triumphant. What does the scripture talk about? Mounting up like eagles. That's what we're doing. We'll be flying instead of groveling in the dirt and having this happen and that happen and reacting to this and reacting to that and having bad days after bad days and complaining about the traffic and whatever else. Just mundane life. We don't want mundane life. We want transcendent life. And this transcendent life is called by the scriptures many things. Today it's called by being the good ground. Today it's being called that we are new creatures, that we walk according to a certain rule, and also that we have the marks of the Lord Jesus on us. Cultivate those marks. Try to increase those marks. Then you live a triumphant life. Then you're the good ground. It's a glorious thing. May God help us, despite our sins, to live according to this rule that we're new creatures. God bless you. Amen.